This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Past 3 p.m. Alvin Reed is here. Dude, you can't just come walking into a room looking like you did without warning a man. It's January friggin' 2nd, and you're walking in like L.L. Bean himself.
Oh, man. My wife got me a beautiful, beautiful coat for Christmas, and without knowing this, I got her a similar coat. We got the burgundy kind of thing going on. And so we are ready for the rest of winter.
Yeah, man. You have three collars on today.
I had a...
It's a three-collar day.
Man, remember that yuppie stuff, man? Like, I don't have them on top of each other.
No.
I have a Channel 9 fleece on.
Yeah.
That's just because I was, going down to the car and doing something, want to put my coat on. So when I left, I forgot to take this off. So until you pointed that out, I'm thinking like, oh, that's right. I do have another.
It's working. Level.
It's funny. When Dave was made the first joke about the jacket, I'm like, wait, the jacket's got a collar, and then the quarter zip's got a collar, and then the shirt's got a collar.
So I have a collared shirt on. So I guess if I did not have a collared shirt on, I would have pulled it off. But
yeah.
No, I forgot to take this off.
You're like you're at Mike Claiborne level.
Put together,
no, sartorially.
Yeah. You get to a certain point in life when all you can do for excitement is buy some new clothes,
dress up. Yeah, you're not going to improve your body.
Yeah, pretty much.
Might as well wear some good.
So, like, I find myself wearing like real shoes when I used to always wear tennis shoes.
Yeah,
not hard sole, but I do stuff like that. Like, you know, look smart, be smart.
The next 3 months, just get ready, because you guys are going to see the most amazing physical metamorphosis with me. And it's not because of any sort of commitment. Mm-hmm. It's just that I've never been this unhealthy. For real.
Okay.
I may not look like it. I never drink water. The only water I get is from coffee or soda. I don't exercise other than playing catch, which doesn't count.
All right.
I found. And I eat like crap, and I just have not taken care of myself in like 2 years. And I finally hit the point, and it's not like, you know, I mean, New Year's is a classic time to do that, but we all hit that point where you're like, you're 61. You're not going to get better. This is as good as it's going to get.
Yes, exactly. And the studies actually prove that out.
Yes.
And it's kind of sad, once you hit 65 like me, it's like, oh. So, no matter what I do,
no matter what I do. Start,
yeah, pretty much that's it. I should drink more water. That's what I'm thinking for the dog. For one, 3-mile walk every Saturday, and then some ancillary ones. So, I do walk and get some miles in walking every week. But I don't go out of my way to exercise.
Yeah.
And I
got
should,
to.
I probably should have some routine where I do something. It helps that I bowl on Wednesday nights now. And so, that's something. So, I get a little body movement going on. I haven't become sediment.
Where's your home bowling alley?
It's Shrewsbury Lanes. That's
okay.
Where the league is. Yeah, and I had been there I think once before, maybe in my life. You know,
I hope bowling. I don't care if we're living in space pods. I hope bowling is always a thing.
All right, bowling will always be a thing because I had never bowled on a bowling team. In my life, I learned how to bowl like with church, okay? But I'd never really been on a bowling team in my life. Now, if you want to call us a team, we're just some characters that bowl. But this league has got really, really serious bowlers. Like, hardly a Wednesday goes by where somebody doesn't throw a 300 game or is really breathing on it late. They're very much into bowling. But to bowl, we had to join like ABC American Bowling Congress,
right?
And they keep your score. They handicap and they send out now online, but the sheets and like, even though we're the worst team, we're not last because they handicap the scores. And people pay attention to this. I don't. Our team doesn't. Right. Could care less.
Yeah.
But people really pay attention. I'm telling you, man, bowling will be here. As long as there's America, there'll be some bowling somewhere.
There's just something about it.
I always thought that. Now it's been proven to me.
Yeah. I think it's the physicality. It's the cleanliness and the slickness of the wood on the lanes.
And people now.
The crash of the pins.
I bought my own shoes because I don't remember bowling shoes.
You're Alvin Reed. You're not going to wear another man's shoes.
Well, but I would have, but they're hard and they're flat. And it was like after the first two times, it's like, nah. I could feel this in my back. So I invested in a pair of bowling shoes. I am torn on whether to get a bowling ball. If I do bowl again next year, I will probably get my own ball. Yeah. But all these people have their own balls.
You going to get one of those swirly color ones?
No, but you know what?
One of the skull in the middle.
That's the one I want.
I'm telling you. I will probably get a black bowling.
Oh, come on.
Because if I get it fitted to my hand and me and all that, I don't need all that, you know. I thought a bowling ball is a bowling ball. They tell me, no, you know, the bowling ball that you buy for yourself is made out of different material than the bowling ball that's just bowling at.
Oh, yeah. They got some that are grippier. They got some that are looser.
You do not, if you have a real ball instead of a bowling alley ball, you get a little bit more pin action, apparently.
Are you a spin guy?
No. I throw it straight, but 95% of the people who bowl now spin their ball. About 50% don't even put their fingers in the holes anymore.
No, I only do. I don't use the thumb hole. I used to, but it tears my thumb up, so it's just easier to not use it.
Okay, they just hold the ball and just spin it and throw it.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Right, and I mean, I don't want to call them old, but there's people, I swear, 10 years older than I am, they look like they can't get to the line, they throw the ball, pins flying everywhere. Bowling 250 games.
That's crazy.
Look like they are you gonna make it to your car? Sure, son. Right. And then they'll go throw a 250 game.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, bowling's alive and well. And it costs too much. Bowling used to be cheap. It ain't cheap no more.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I said, you know, just to go bowl one day, that used to be relatively easy. It costs a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's expensive, but I kind of like, oh man, bowling's kind of like, you know.
Is it Pinup Bowl down in Del Mar?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yes.
Yeah, I took the whole family there maybe 4 years ago. Blast. Total blast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that again while Phoebe's home.
Yeah. Oh, it's always fun.
Yeah.
It's always fun. And when it was, you know, hot during the summer, the girls, you know, before they had gone to college, really younger though. We once or twice during the summer just hot, like, come on, let's go bowl, because you know it's like,
and it's kind of like golf. No matter how bad a golfer you are, you're gonna have one or two shots
that make you want to.
And the same with bowling.
Yes,
right. I may bowl a 110, but I'll get a couple strikes back to back. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
if
you pick up a split,
yeah,
right. And everybody's like, oh man, good shot, right? You know, all these old bowlers that are great at it. Hey, that was a good ball. I'm thinking like lucky as hell, but No, I've enjoyed it. I have. Here's the crazy part. I've actually missed it over the last 3 weeks.
Nice.
Because we were Wednesday night league and we didn't bowl on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. So it would be, you know, a whole 3 weeks is going to.
Rach did a show on having a third place. And how important that is to have your home, your work, and a third place.
Yeah.
Is that your third place?
Well, I mean, I have a conglomerate of third places.
You do have a few.
A few bars, few like, right. But I did actually, you know, in fact, my wife and I went to happy hour on Monday with friends. And the crew, some people said like, hey, we're going to get together at the bowling alley. And I got plans. I felt like, you know, the little kid that had to go to his, you know.
Can't make it.
Yeah, or something, right? Well, the
mom says I have to do something.
Mom says I have to go to such and such, right? Even though we set up the happy hour, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was like I said, man, golly, I actually kind of miss bowling, too.
That's
how crazy is that? And it started in August. I think we started in August. Another thing is the league is long. It's like 30 weeks or something. I don't need to sign on for that much. So we're going to try to find, I think, a little more.
Yeah, next season is my first full season with my baseball team. And I think we play a 25-game schedule, which is not insignificant.
One or two a week, you think? Or one?
Yeah, yeah, nine-inning games.
Yeah.
Paul McGilla.
All right. Because that would be, well, I don't know, two a week. That's still 12 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's 3 months. Mm-hmm. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Boy, if you, okay, maybe. But I understand what you mean. It's a kind of a commitment because you do practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I hope you practice. Right.
I can't get this guy to take me to practice.
Wait, why won't you take him to practice?
Because he never asks.
I just want him to want to do it.
Okay. I just got a different story.
Right? I want him to approach me.
Oh.
I'm getting different stories here.
It's like high school.
If you see me, I'm sitting in the middle. I just want to take you to practice. Why don't you take you to practice?
Why didn't you ask me to the dance? I thought you were waiting for me to ask Kevin.
Kevin, Dan Clark wants to play catch with you.
So, hey, Rach, you got to pass me a note. That's what's going to happen.
Seriously, I'll be like, so Dave was wondering.
I would practice with teams before, like when I was younger, and when I people who were playing, I said, like, I literally would kind of invite, I'd say, like, hey, I'm going to come practice with you, because they never have enough guys.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't need to do anything except just fill some ground balls, shag fly balls.
Kev, you know what I should do?
What should you do?
I should practice with your 14U team.
Boy.
I'd fit right in.
In some ways.
Right.
You don't know enough of the 6'7 lingo.
I pick it up.
You don't
I can teach them things.
You don't have broccoli head hair.
No, don't have that.
But the commonality of baseball, I'd like, I mean, you know, he's a little younger than I am. I'd come out there and say, like, hey, you need somebody to just chase balls.
Albert
stuff
and
like
I
that.
Come out and take some
I'd
infield.
I'd love to do that. I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, I could still do it. I mean, as soon as I walked out there, they said, like, oh, this old man going to die. I was like, yeah, I'll surprise you. Right. I'm not trying to, you know, take your best pitcher deep or nothing like that. I'm just out there like,
probably, how long has it been? 15 years maybe? When I was when Bulger was playing for the Rams, and we were hanging out all the time, and I went to his estate, and he was getting ready to go to camp, and he was out in the back 40 running plays and all that kind of stuff, and I was in much better shape back then, and I said, hey, I played football. I was a sprinter in college. Mm-hmm. I know how to run a post pattern. Why don't I run some patterns for you? And being Mark, he was very like, oh, it's okay, Glove. Don't worry, this. And I told the story later on. He goes, dude, you'd be so slow, you'd throw my timing off.
Yeah, I
see. And he said, I would 100% break your fingers.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you guys would be surprised at how hard 14-year-olds can throw a baseball and hit a baseball. It's a little different than you expect.
No, I'm saying
there's some big boys in there.
No, I understand that. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not, like, trying to play the hot corner in a real game. I'm just saying, like, if you needed somebody to play shortstop 20 feet behind where the shortstop
I was going to say,
stands,
you better be in the grass.
Yeah, like, right.
It gets there quick.
I'll be the cutoff man.
Yeah.
You know, just relay balls. Really just to catch the ball and throw the ball.
Designated cutoff
around.
Man.
That's basically.
There you go.
Because
that's
I would like to still be around baseball and still catch baseball.
Did I make this up? Back in the day playing softball, was there an extra position?
Yeah, there was a short
fielder. Yeah, you could play four outfielders and kind of play them where you want to.
I thought I made that up.
Yeah.
No, that was a thing. And then
you could play short center or you could just play left center and right center depending on the league and what kind of league it is.
Right. Now, you know, baseball historians will not, you know, show this, but I invented the shift, and I invented it in softball years ago. And I said, like, you know, these big, you know, beer belly guys want to hit the ball over the fence. They ain't interested in running no place. Why am I standing at shortstop? I was like, you know what? I'm going to back out here, and we'll either play it like four outfielders. And if they hit a ground ball to where I would be standing normally, that guy doesn't want to run the bases. All he's going to do is get the first base and be mad.
Yeah.
All right? And it actually worked.
Invented the shift.
Right. You know, like, hey, take your hit, man. I know you don't want to run the base. It's hot out here. And you're big and you're slow. You don't want to run the bases? Hey, please. Hey, all right.
It's a challenge thing, too, man. If you're a power guy in softball, you don't want to hit a single.
I know.
You're trying to hit every ball over the fence.
That's the truth. And I just think, like, oh, I got this figured out. This was at Forest Park in the 90s. And I
played shortstop against the Bombers. Remember those guys?
No.
Big, fat, home run hitting softball team.
Okay.
And they would travel. And they would have like a really good shortstop and a really good second baseman. And then everyone else was just fat. But they would hit home runs every pitch.
Yeah. And if they didn't hit a home run, they're mad.
Yeah, they're just.
Right. And they like, and it was co-ed a lot of times, some the leagues. And not saying the women could, because they could hit. But like I said, now I can come back and play mine. And then you get a double play. Now, dude's really mad. And, you know, like, oh, man, you should play. Dude, just. I'm playing ball, man. Right. Like, so, yeah, I invented it.
Hate the game.
I'm going to
say, not the player.
Pretty much.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 322. So I came back faster than I should have. I've been sick for about a week. So I may cut out about 4 p.m. Save myself for Monday. Andrew will be back on Monday. For some reason, our company decided to give everyone the day off today, which I should be happy about, but I'm resentful. Because that's how I am. I'm very small, vanishingly tiny. We're just talking about sports. And on the break, I was telling these guys, I played a ton of baseball in my life, played a ton of slow pitch softball. But when I was a kid, all the men in my neighborhood played fast pitch softball. I've never seen a game like that. Now, maybe it's because I was 12 watching these guys whip it and the ball rises as it comes to you. But man, that was a man's game.
It was a man's game. And you could bunt. So like third, they had to play short corners, as they used to say. Like you had to take the bunt away from them. So you had to have some guts. Because people really didn't get around on it too much, but when they did, you're 20 feet from home plate. Yeah. Good God. Now, here's the thing that also changed. As I was young enough to remember when there were fast pitch leagues, the aluminum bat had not become a thing yet. So people were still using wood bats. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, you know, you didn't get that howitzer coming at your head.
Wheels, what if the pros played with the top of the line aluminum composite bats?
So you're talking about the ones, though, that are, like, restricted,
the
right?
The hot ones.
Well, they're all roughly the same once you get to the high school and college level. Mm-hmm. Like, they're tested so that they have a certain max exit velocity. But you would still see a lot more offense because it's easier to hit a sweet spot. You know, if you look at at a wooden bat, the sweet spot's kind of, you know, a couple inches. Mm-hmm. And on the metal bat, it's probably twice that, times that. So you wouldn't have necessarily harder max contact, but you would have more hard contact. It would be your frequency would go up.
Did you now when you started playing, the aluminum bat that you first played with was that
hot?
And what was
they
the
had
name
no restrictions?
Of them?
I mean,
what was the name?
So that was it was big when the Green Eastons had come out, and then Black Magic.
Yeah,
the Easton Black Magic was the bat of choice in the late '80s, early '90s for a lot of people.
All right,
and it was, I mean, those things were ridiculous. They had another model for Easton called the Secor that came out in the early '90s and had one of those in college. I mean, these things had no exit velocity restrictions. They were lighter than they should have been. They were bouncy. You could hit the ball forever. Even as a guy, I'm a pretty average sized person for an athlete. I'm a small person, right?
You know the most athletic person in this room right now? Rach. I mean, as far as like actually who plays a sport.
I mean, Wheels, when you're practicing and stuff, I mean, with your
But
with
he
your
won't
team.
Practice with me, Rachel.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, he's got some restrictive practice policy for old men, I guess. He tried to,
he doesn't want a 6-year-old man playing with his teenage boys.
Like, we're ruining him for life. Rach, what
How
do you do?
How could that go wrong?
What is your sport of choice? What do you do?
I play tennis.
He's a tennis player. Right.
Okay, I didn't know.
That's fun. All right. Wouldn't it be funny if the 14-year-olds on Wheeler's team were like, oh, can Dave Glover come play, please? And he's like, no, I don't want to.
They'd be like, what's a radio?
Yeah, no kidding. What's a radio?
See, 14, yeah.
Oh, like, is he on TikTok?
Yeah. They still have that? Right. Oh, well, I've had people tell me, you know, we do 10 minutes on YouTube. People sound like, hey, that YouTube show is cool. Where'd that come from? I'm like, well, 25 years, 40 years of the other show. We ran YouTube a year. People just discovered us. Younger people, but that's the thing. Younger people all of a sudden say like, oh yeah, I saw that thing on YouTube.
Yeah, so how do you do, so Donnybrook Last Call is what we are referencing.
Yes.
Alvin, do you know in advance the topics you're going to cover on that, or is it more like the stuff you didn't get to in the regular show?
We know what we're going to talk about. I will say when I am the provocateur, I'm looking for aliens landing. I'm looking for
it is the more like offbeat topic.
You need to bring me or Wheels for that stuff. Like,
let's go.
Technically, it's supposed to be the things that we didn't have time to get to on the show, And that's the way it should be done.
Charlie, spice it up a little.
Right, but I
guys rip it off Bill Maher. Is that what this is? Like overtime?
And they are local, and they are, but I'm looking for the quirky.
Yeah.
For example, Missouri, you could have a raccoon for a pet. In Illinois, you can't have a raccoon for a pet. So one day last summer, I said, like, raccoon, wild animal, which would you have one in your house? You know? And it was just, I like to keep it light.
For the record, I would.
I would too if they were a nice little raccoon.
You raise them from when they're little guys?
They're so cute.
They're so smart.
When they're good, you know.
Until they
got little hands.
They can do them right and tear your house apart.
That's all right.
I would have one for a pet too, except they would at some point destroy something in your house.
Yeah, you got to train them.
Okay. All right. They're raccoons, man. They'll all right. Yeah, that autographed Ozzy Smith bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No one notices the contrast of white on white. And in between the moon and you, angels get a better view of the crumbling difference between wrong and right.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 332 on the dot. Happy Friday. Happy New Year. Dave Murray joins us on the phone, having a little technical trouble. Dave, Happy New Year, my brother.
Happy New Year. Have you back.
So, Dave, I don't know. You probably didn't hear me tell this story earlier. I told the guys, but I have to tell you. I'm at the whole family, Christmas Eve. Everybody's there, and it's just Christmas Eve-y, you know, an afternoon. And I look, and I've missed a phone call, and it's from Dave Murray. And so I very performatively pick up my phone and very loudly announce to everyone in the family, I'm sorry, I have to make a phone call. Dave Murray called me to wish me a Merry Christmas. And so in front of everyone, I'm like, Dave, it's Glove. Hey, missed your phone call, buddy. Merry Christmas to you and yours and many glad tidings. And then I never heard back. And I didn't check my work email because I'm on vacation. And I got in today and I look and there was a response from you that said, sorry, butt dial.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I just went from like the top of the heap. I'm like, oh, butt dial. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, I had sent you a text with
So most importantly, how's Janice doing? What's the update?
The update, we saw the doctor a couple of days ago, and it's healing okay. He's a little concerned about one thing. She's got to get a CT scan. We just scheduled that for Tuesday. See him again on Wednesday. But it's from the second surgery. That's 3 weeks now. And he goes, oh, no, you're staying in the splint, and we still have a ways to go.
Rachel, try and get a different... phone, a little bit of a bad connection, Dave. You want to try again, or is this the best we're going to get?
I mean, Dave, you'd have to send me like a landline.
Look, how's that? Is that any better?
Yeah, it's a little better.
A little bit better.
Okay. I moved a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's do some weather. Then we'll do some jacking around. I got to be honest. I didn't even pay attention to the weather. I was sick over the break, Dave. Been flat on my back the last 4 or 5 days. What are we looking at?
It's just kind of quiet. There's a lot of stormy action on the West Coast. There's been a lot of stormy action in the Northeast. And we're kind of in between. Typically, when we get storms on the West Coast, they usually affect our weather, but they are not at this stage of the game. But we have a lot of clouds around. Clouds stay with us into tomorrow morning. Fingers crossed we get a little bit of sunshine on Saturday afternoon in the 30s to near 40. Full wolf moon is coming up on Saturday night. We'll have clear skies and 25 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny, 45. Then after a cold start on Monday morning, going to warm it up to 59 on Monday and 59, 60 degrees Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Our next real shot of some rain will be probably Thursday and into Friday of next week. That's a long way off, but that's kind of what I'm thinking right now.
You guys are going to think I'm stoned right now, but we had a big snow before, right? This year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. November. Yeah,
we've had. Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we've had over 10 inches of snow so far this winter.
I thought we did, but then I'm like, no, you're making that up. You're making that up. It didn't snow already, so. Headline
nope.
Rage.
And go ahead, before we do that, I want to go back to last Sunday when we had that big temperature drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we haven't talked since then. We had a high of 78 on that Sunday. It was the record for the day and the record for the month. We had a low of 15. So that was a 63-degree drop in temperature in 24 hours. The record in St. Louis is from November 11th of 1911. And it was 66 degrees in 24 hours. So that was an all-time, you know, very impressive temperature drop.
Yeah, we were national news. It was kind of fun, you know, just like watching CNN and stuff. They're like, in St. Louis, get a load of this.
Yeah, I promised that it would be a real shock to the system, and people, fine. Oh, no, I got so many texts. That's a shock to the system. We've had it. That's enough.
God, it's so true. I mean, we all know, like, it's all relative, but remember how freaking cold it was that day? You know, just like just bone chilling.
And how warm it was to start.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, you know, shorts, people in shorts saying, oh, man, this is great. This is fantastic. And then by late afternoon, we were in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Ah!
Oh, my God. I thought Janice fell again when you yelled like that. Like, don't tell me again.
Now, every time I'm on live with you now, she has to be sitting down.
She has to sit down. That's a good rule. That's a good rule. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Okay, I'm going to warn you guys, the first couple of stories are kind of bleak. An Air India flight out of Canada got delayed for a very scary reason. Police say that a pilot was too drunk to fly. That kind of implies that you can be a little drunk in order to fly. I don't know. Interesting choice of words. But no, they administered two breathalyzer tests, and he didn't pass. So they had to procure a new pilot. And, you know, it's just scary that kind of stuff is happening. I think it's a little bit less of a big deal if, say, a radio show host is a little so, you know,
what are you
drunk.
Trying to say?
Yeah,
no,
Dave.
I'm not saying anything about anyone in here, but I'm just saying, like, there are certain professions where zero drunk. You don't get to be drunk at all in order to do your job.
Right, zero drunk.
Yes. Another sad story here. A 77-year-old woman went overboard on a New Year's cruise in the Caribbean, and they had an extensive search by the Coast Guard that they later suspended. After about 8 hours of searching, they said they needed more information in order to keep searching. It seems like she is just lost at sea.
Thanks.
So condolences to her family.
Back to the drinking, the pilots. Back in my younger, wilder years, I hooked up with this girl down on the landing, and it was very late, like, God, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or something. And she was a flight attendant. And she was with her crew, and they were wasted, wasted. And they were flying out at like 7 a.m. And I remember, yes, and she, like, we'd only just met, but she was like, now, you got to be cool about this, right? We're going to be fine. Everyone's going to be fine. We're professionals. But I was like, you're going to be piloting a plane in like 4 or 5 hours, and they were tanked.
Oof.
So I wonder if it happens more than we think.
It probably does. It probably does.
So this is a sad story as well. Tommy Lee Jones's daughter was found dead in a San Francisco hotel. She was 34 years old.
Any details?
They just said that they responded to a medical emergency. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what it could be, but very sad. I like Tommy Lee Jones a lot, and I'm very sorry this happened to his family. So Ron DeSantis is in his final year as the governor of Florida, and he's trying to slam the brakes on AI while lots of people are stepping on the gas. But Ron is warning that mindless slop generated by AI, deepfakes, and automation could destabilize jobs, destabilize communities, and even destabilize self-government. At an event on December 18th, DeSantis said, "Let us not try to act like some type of fake videos or fake songs are going to deliver us some kind of utopia."
I think I agree with Ron.
Who thinks
that?
Yeah,
me too.
Who thinks what?
Who thinks that AI-generated songs and videos are going to save mankind? I mean, just prop up that straw man. I mean, like, I think it's good to address the problems, but it's not the only thing that AI is going to be, right? I mean, it could have uses in the medical field. It could have uses in all kinds of ways to process information faster than what we're currently capable of. But, like, I don't like the framing of it because he's like mindless slop, like it's like some, like it's some social media thing, because it's more than that. Sometimes it's just flat out dangerous, right? Sometimes it's flat out criminal. I don't want to slide that in with mindless slop. Mindless slop is harmless to a degree. Like, there are uses for this that are very dangerous. I just wish he'd be more specific, because, you know, this is a big thing we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
AI needs to be regulated, and needs to be regulated in advance of it becoming more.
Yeah.
But we're all slow on the uptake for whatever reason.
Yeah, AI has already harmed people.
Yeah.
It's already killed people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not mindless slop. It's targeted. It's being used on purpose to hurt people. I mean, it's in that way, it's no different than any other kind of weapon.
I don't know if you guys have seen the latest controversy with Grok. But if you go on X and you check Grok's replies, and again, if you are not on X or Twitter, I understand that what I just said sounds insane.
What does that mean?
You can go check the replies. People are asking Grok. They're basically taking photos of women and saying, like, yeah, you should put her in a bikini. And she's like bending over. And Grok's like, here you go, and generates that image over and over, whoever you want it to be. It's a major problem that has popped up in just the last couple of days of Grok doing this. I am going to assume this is going to be handled in the next couple of days or weeks, because this can't be happening. I don't think people are going to stand for it. But yeah. Grok's not the only image generator that can do things like that. Mm. And I do get what Ron DeSantis is saying to an extent. The average person is focused on the AI slop aspect of, like, I saw a video and a kitty cat was driving a car. It was crazy. And we think that's what AI is.
Right.
We're not thinking about all the different ways it can be used and manipulated, like Wheels was saying. But this thing with Grok is just a great example of, yeah, we jumped in feet first and gave the general public,
as we do,
this tool. And a lot of people are abusing the tool. Mm-hmm. So watch out. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Grok, Elon Musk, Tesla has lost its title as the world's biggest EV maker. Sales have fallen for the second year in a row. So the biggest EV maker is Chinese rival BYD.
I don't know or care much about electric vehicles. I'm not attracted to them. And I'm not into, like, the environment enough that, oh, we need to this and we need to that. But I've been seeing more and more stories which basically suggest to me that the car industry was wrong about the EVs. And I remember asking Skip, who sells EVs, do you think that they're going to replace the internal combustion engine? And he said, never. It's mm-hmm. not going to happen. And I kind of figured that my friend was just being kind of a homer. But he may be right. Like, they're just kind of, they're not doing well.
Well, there's, from what I understand also, the batteries are extremely, extremely expensive to replace and hard to recycle. So that has defeated the purpose for a lot mm-hmm. of people. Because I was open to the EV thing from the second I heard about it. I'm like, okay, great, sure. But then you learn about actually putting it into practice, it is a lot more difficult than maybe we were led to believe. So I'm sure they'll keep working
on the
technology. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. The other thing that's happening is the price of electricity is skyrocketing.
That is true. Oh, and with all these data centers we're going to need for all of the AI, it'll just get worse.
Yeah,
that's
right. So,
oh, that's flop.
Like, the selling point for an EV, it can be different, right? I mean, maybe it's that you just don't want to pay for gas all the time and you figured out the math and, you know, in your budget, it's better. But when it comes to like carbon footprint and the environment, I mean, there are questions about like the total carbon imprint from a gasoline powered car versus an electric car because of what it goes into make the electric car and what it goes into mining all the things you need to use to make the lithium ion batteries and all of that. I mean, until you have all of that sorted, I don't know that you could say one is absolutely better than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For environmental purposes. It's better for gas consumption.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not entire. Those are two separate things. They're not exactly the same.
This is completely off topic, but something you said triggered my brain. Have you seen this horrific fire on New Year's Eve in Sweden?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, yeah. Rach. These people were at this bar in Sweden having a great time, and evidently they had sparklers in champagne bottles, and it started a fire, and 40 people burned alive.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh.
Just so horrible.
Mm. Yikes. And you see that all the time in clubs and stuff, people mm-hmm. coming out with the sparklers.
Yeah.
So I wonder how it caught
see,
on fire.
See, I was right
so-
about those sparklers. Everyone called me a puss, and I said, be careful. Thank you, Dave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's going on?
some nice, because fish can be so expensive. Like if you want to eat salmon every night or something, I'm not a billionaire. I would have to become a billionaire like the thought experiment requires. Now, we didn't get to this in the headlines, but I did have one more very depressing story.
Great.
One cheeseburger, just one cheeseburger can shave about 9 minutes off of your life.
Yeah, what's 9 minutes?
That's, but that's it. For one cheeseburger. Right. I'm eating like four of these a week, dude.
I'm telling you. On
that's
my,
a half hour.
On my deathbed, when everyone is standing around my bed, I'm going to do like, hey, watch this trick. And then I'm going to eat a cheeseburger and just kick and be like, I was going to die in 9 minutes, but I'm dying now.
Going out on my own terms.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.